Tell you who always comes in handy, always comes in to save the show, is Nick Wagner of ESPN.com. He joins us now on the UMA guest line. Nick, did you get back okay?
I did. I didn't know I was going to have to come back and save the show, though. That's a,
No.
That's a big ask, Peter.
I'm sorry. I need you to be like Jimmy and just carry me to the finish line here. Or you're the Debo and I'm the Jimmy. It doesn't matter. I got nothing but faith in you here. I'm pushing out optimism, and I'm sure you'll get the job done. Whatever.
I do have to say, Dieter, that when you spend a weekend in Green Bay, and don't get me wrong, I love visiting Green Bay. Lambeau is the real deal. It's everything people say.
Oh yeah, 100%.
When you get back and you get that California sunshine on your face and it's 65 degrees, you're like, oh yeah, this is why I pay an exorbitant amount of money for it.
Nick, you know? I could talk to you about this for about 8 hours. I have very strong theories on this. Nick, I deeply considered, as I was driving from Green Bay to Chicago, changing my flight to first go through South Florida and just, you know, just for a couple hours. And just stand there. Just stand in the sun and just defrost my entire body. You're 100% right, man. Yeah, we're hardy boys from the Midwest. Like, we know what we're about. And everyone says, "Oh, you're no longer tough. Like, you can't handle it." No, I'm not. I might not be tough. Whatever. Say whatever you want about that one. I'm just not stupid. Like, I was told that there was an alternative to this, and I took it. Multiple times over, and people saying, "Oh, we're Midwestern tough." That's just a lie. Those people tell themselves to justify still living there for no good reason. That's my full stance on it. The floor is yours. If you want to call me a jerk,
no, absolutely. Those, you know, people will say like, "Oh, I've gotten soft since I got." I have, and frankly,
100%.
You know what? I probably still handle it better than some of our other brethren on the beat who didn't grow up there.
But that's for sure.
At some point, it just doesn't matter, right? It's just so cold and ridiculous. And of course, we're saying that as the jerks who got to sit in the warm press box all night and had to deal with the actual cold for maybe 20 minutes walking in and out of the press box. So,
it was a harrowing 20 minutes, though. I mean, all of our game stories were just a little bit worse because of those 20 minutes we spent out in the cold.
Well, it took me 10 minutes longer because I had to thaw my fingers out before I could type my right first. So, a beautiful stay in Wisconsin, but boy, do I love coming back to California. So,
do you know how happy I was when I looked up the weather in Los Angeles this weekend and saw 72 degrees? I mean, I think I giggled with glee. It's a 50-minute flight on, like, a real jet, and it's 72 degrees. It's like, and maybe the Niners can facilitate this. I might just stay there for 3 weeks in a row. I might just hang out.
There you go. I mean, it all makes sense. Like, you know, Christopher Wallace wrote a great song about going back to California. He wasn't even from here. And there is a reason why that is an all-time great song, because those who, like, it's one of those, what do the kids say, if you know, you know kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely one of those types of situations. Anyway.
All right. Now that we've had a little bit of separation, Nick Wagner of ESPN.com, from whatever the hell that football game was on Saturday, do you have any clarity as to just how the 49ers are one win away from the Super Bowl without, and I think I say this with impunity, without putting together like a really good game yet in the postseason?
Yeah, I think I do. I wrote about this today, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think they're tougher than everybody, Dieter. And I don't just mean, like, the brute physicality. I mean, like, the mental toughness. And I know that's hard to measure, and you could argue that, like, that's the kind of thing that you come up with when the quarterback isn't an elite guy, you know?
Yep.
And I acknowledge that, right? I'm self-aware about that. But the thing, I wrote this in my column today, the idea basically being that, like, the old Mike Tyson saying is, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? The Niners' plan is to get punched in the mouth.
Like they're rope-a-doping.
It is a form of football rope-a-dope that sounds insane, but is just crazy enough to work because of how they're built. And it wouldn't work if they didn't have guys who just keep plugging along. And I heard the intro there. Jimmy Garoppolo kind of exemplifies that, personifies it in some ways. But there's so many other guys, and it trickles down to the coaching staff, where even Kyle Shanahan on 3rd and 7, you know what? the biggest play of the year. I don't want to throw it. I'm going to put the ball in my best player's hands, and we're going to run it because that's who we are. And we're just tougher than you. We're going to get the job. Like, those are the in special teams. You know, it's been bad all year, but, you know, I think they were 27th in terms of, like, efficiency rating and stuff like that. But the Packers are 32nd, so they said, you know what? That's a big enough gap. We're going to go ahead and use that to our advantage, and we're going to win a game with it. Like, I really do, Dieter. It sounds silly because, and you know me, I'm not somebody who likes to talk about intangibles and stuff because I don't like things that you can't measure. But at some point, you have to look at this as that's just what it is. This is a group of guys who has most of them been together for a long time. They love playing together, and they are just willing to put it on the line for the guy next to them. And I know that's cheesy, but I really think that's what they are.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We had a caller earlier on in the show who was asking, apropos of almost nothing, actually, now that I think about it, but I love the question because I do love this topic, why the 49ers' drafts have been kind of weird in the first couple of rounds and really good in later rounds. And my rationale, and we don't need to get into the whole thing again because I was very long-winded about it and certainly can be long-winded again. My whole thing is basically there's less – you know, we don't notice the guys who don't hit in the late rounds, but the Niners have kind of a methodology, and most teams do, as it pertains to sort of the flyers that you take on day three. And it's you're looking for somebody who is either crazy athletic and is there on day three because, you know, they might not know how to play football yet, or you're looking for a dude who just has what I like to call the crazy. And the crazy is the ability to just play football, which is a professional murder sport, at a very high level with no regard for your own body. And the great players are both. They are crazy athletic and just crazy. And I'll say this about the San Francisco 49ers. They got some crazy dudes. Like Deebo Samuel is a crazy dude. You got George Kittle. And this, I say this in the kindest way. There's no pejorative tone to this whatsoever. These dudes, I think it feeds into exactly what you're saying. George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. I mean, you can go down that line. Tom Compton, who's been in this league forever and has seen everything. But he's just built to be a football player. Juwan Jennings, who came on so well late in the season. Juwan Jennings has the same athleticism as you or I. I mean, I joke, but like he had a spider graph score of 2 out of 100. And yet, you know, what did Kyle Shanahan say about him? He blacks out during the game. He's like 95% blacked out. These guys have the crazy. And we've seen it now, I would argue 6 times in a row, but certainly twice this season against the Rams. The Rams, they're a little bit too much in the moment. They are not blacked out. Yeah. They're thinking about what they're doing later. They're thinking about all the money-making faces that they got. I don't know if they have enough crazy to necessarily win this game because the Niners, they've gone crazy on them twice. They have found ways to just be football players twice on them. And the Rams, I don't know if they're about that life. At the same time, the Rams are crazy talented. I don't know. Yeah. Do you think that they can get a third go-around on this crazy train and get into the Super Bowl?
To touch on your point about the crazy, in 2017, I sat in Kyle Shanahan's office after he got hired. I guess it was in training camp. It was the first one-on-one interview I did with him, and we talked for probably 45 minutes. We just talked about all kinds of different stuff. But one of the things I wanted to find out was, what are you looking for? Like, what do you want your team to be? What do you want it to look like? What do you want it to feel like? What does it sound like? All that stuff. And he told me a story about how when he was a redshirt freshman at the University of Texas, they had finals in December, and the Longhorns were preparing for a bowl game, but they had a little, like, practice-slash-scrimmage thing for the redshirt guys. It was a chance for them to get some extra reps and start working toward the next year. Mm-hmm. And it was the same day that he had a final. And there were 7 other guys on the team that had the final. They all went and took the final. It was during the time when they were supposed to have the scrimmage. Kyle Shanahan didn't go. Just took an F. Took a nothing on it. He got a D-minus in the class. And Kyle Shanahan said, honestly, I was there for football. That was all I ever really wanted to do. It was all I cared about. So to me, the final was more of what was taking place on the football field and in that classroom. And at the end of the day, he wants 53 guys willing to skip the final, right? Like that's wow. the whole thing about this team. And that is, I think he's gotten to that point where this is who they are now. That he's got this, because there is a lot of talent on this team. I don't want to undersell that.
And they're talented.
That should be pointed out. They're very, very talented.
Nick, you can't score zero offensive touchdowns in the divisional game and win it if you're not crazy talented. You can't have a second half like the way that the 49ers had a second half against Dallas and not be talented to win that game. You can't get into the playoffs if you're not a talented team. Week 17, no starting quarterback, still win anyway. I know it's the Texans, but anyone can get got it any week. Yeah, this team is crazy talented, but again, they're also crazy.
Yeah, and that's the thing where it's like if you are in games, which in the playoffs a lot of times you are, where the talent level is about equal, right? Because that's, as you start getting down to that time, what's going to be the thing that makes the difference? And so to answer your question, I think that when you look at the Rams, I think they have a ton of talent. I think that they probably have some crazy that you're talking about. They have the guys who love football and all that. But I don't know that they have what the 49ers have, because I think that a lot of what the Rams are is kind of a patched together group of, highly paid mercenaries almost, where they've kind of brought all the, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how they built it. They might go to the Super Bowl. It's possible.
Oh yeah.
But I think that the edge that the 49ers have, and I think it showed up when they played them repeatedly, beyond just Kyle Shanahan versus Sean McVay. And I'm sure you don't want to talk about that, but beyond that, I think is looking at the fact that they've had a group of guys, 25, 26 guys who have been here together for a long period of time, and they know the guy next to them, and they care about that person. And again, I know it all sounds cheesy, but I just think at the end of the day, these are the things that tip the scales in your favor when you don't have that, when you don't have that elite quarterback, because that elite quarterback is the thing that gets you to this point over and over and over again, which is why the Niners went out and got Trey Lance. But for now, what they're working with, how do you make it happen when you don't have that guy? This is how you do it, and it's unique and it's rare, and they're to be given credit for building it the way they did, because it's very hard to do. But that is why they're in the position that they're in. It's also why I think they have a really good shot to win again against the Rams on Sunday.
Totally. I know coin flip is kind of a triggering word right now, but it feels like a coin flip game. And, kind of to that same point, right? Like, it does matter how you assemble the cast. You need some chemistry. And you and I, as you noted, we're not guys who like to talk about the intangibles. Intangibles seem like a crutch for people who can't quantify what it is they're trying to say. They can't actually use, rhetoric or real sources. But, sometimes you got Ocean's 11 where everybody's working in unison and you need a little bit of James Caan and you need Don Cheadle to take a lesser role. And sometimes you get Ocean's 8 where you have a bunch of great actors and it just doesn't work. Maybe, I don't know what, I mean, I know that this Niners team is closer to 11 than it is to 8, but I don't know what the LA Rams are. I guess we'll find out on Sunday. Let's talk about Mr. Sean McVay and Mr. Kyle Shanahan. Our friend Jake Hutchinson believes in something called the McVay complex, which is that Sean McVay simply cannot finish the job. We see this at the end of a lot of movies, right? You get the boss there, it's time to take the kill shot, and he just can't seem to do it, and you leave him alive, and they come back and lose in the end. I don't know if it's that far, but clearly Kyle Shanahan has this dude's number. To what do you attribute the fact? I mean, it can't just all be physicality. I know that that's a big part of it, but it can't be just that. To what do you attribute the fact that Sean McVay just can't seem to beat this guy, no matter who the hell the quarterback is?
It's a great question, and I've actually been thinking about that the last couple of days, because there's not an obvious through line between the six wins, right? They all look so different, other than the fact that, there's been a few of them that have been really close and the Niners have come out on top in the close one. So what's the edge there? What's the button that Kyle Shanahan's pressing that Sean McVay's not? One theory, and this is just a working theory, but
I love it.
The thing that intrigues me is I felt like and I do think Sean McVay is a very good coach. Again, don't get me wrong. He's done as someone who covered that franchise for a long period of time.
And yeah,
Yeah, I know, and I was constantly wondering what they would look like if they ever got a good coach. Well, this is what they look like. They're contenders every year. They're all in. They're going for it. So I'm not taking anything away from Sean McVay. Yep. But going back to that Super Bowl that they lost to the Patriots, Bill Belichick, it was a masterclass, right?
It was really three points for the Rams
against the highest scoring offense in the league that year, or at least, I think there were one or two. Just an elite offense that had put points up on everybody that year.
Yep.
And the Rams barely even sniffed the red zone that day. And I remember after that game, Sean McVay, you know, just being at a loss for words, just kind of not really having an explanation other than, you know, giving credit to the Patriots and things like that. And it just made you wonder, like, is there something there where, you know, his youth and the inability to get over the hump in that situation and kind of get taught a lesson by the best to ever do it, that stuck with him. And the only reason I bring that up is because I know that Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick are pretty close. You know, Shanahan was the coach that Belichick called to hand over his quarterback for a second-round pick. So I wonder if there's just some ties there, some things that maybe – and again, it's an intangible thing that he has, but it relates back to that where there's just something that it makes it really hard for Sean McVay to kind of overcome his own boogeyman. And maybe he will do it on Sunday. But, again, I think there is an advantage there for the 49ers. And if you look at the way Shanahan has managed some of these games, I thought he was really good the other night when his offense wasn't getting it done and things were just off. It wasn't bad play calls. It was just, you know, poor execution. You know, just weren't getting it done. It was just one of those nights and the conditions and all that stuff. But I think you're seeing Shanahan start to become kind of fully realized. And I know that Coach of the Year is probably not on the table for him because of how they got into the playoffs and the playoffs don't count and all that. But you can make an argument for him for sure based on the way this thing is finishing out.
Well, I think I love that you mentioned fully realized, and you know, I think for all 49ers fans, they're hoping that's not the case, that there's still more room to go. But there's one thing that I used to be able to levy on the guy that I just can't say anymore, which is that he doesn't feel as much of an idealist anymore. It doesn't feel like it's his way or the highway. And you know how particular and sort of possessive and a little egotistical those Kubiak system guys can be. And I'm wondering if Sean McVay, who turned 36 years old today, somehow making me feel old and young at the same time, if he hasn't learned the lesson of you can't hold on that tight. Not in the NFL, and certainly not in the playoffs. You know, we talked about, you know, certainly many, many bottles of ink have been spilled, or I guess digital e-ink, I don't know, whatever. A lot of pixels have been rendered about D'Amico Ryans and what he's been able to do this season as the Niners' defense has come along in so many ways. His adjustments have been the biggest key, right? Like, it's not working. Yeah. They adjusted on a macro and then in-game on a micro level. And Kyle Shanahan, you can say the exact same thing about him. Macro level, week 10. Break that glass, Deebo Samuel is a running back now. That is the in case of emergency, it was an emergency in week 10. And it's working out pretty well up to this point. I don't know if McVay does that. I haven't gotten that sense. Now, certainly we'll watch the film all week and try to get a better one. But in the games that we've watched 49ers and Rams, and in the preparation for those games, which is certainly not as intense as playoff preparations, at least on our end, or I won't speak for you, at least on my end, it does not feel like he's a guy who does very well with adjustments. And that's the name of the game in the playoffs in any sport.
Yeah, well, and you know, to your point, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but that Week 18 game down in L.A., I think I mentioned this on the air that that when I went back and watched that game, I didn't feel like the first half was as bad as it felt in person. And I didn't think it was even that close, actually. Like, I just remember like thinking, like, if I was just watching this game and I didn't know what the score was at halftime, I would have been surprised if you told me it was 17-0 or whatever it was. And 17, I guess it was 17-3 half. But they were down by 17, basically. And again, coming out in that situation where Ryan Clark has said, my teammate at ESPN says this a lot, and I think it's really well put. The 49ers are the most self-aware team in football, right? And you can't be self-aware unless your head coach is self-aware. And I haven't covered a ton of head coaches that are as self-aware as Kyle Shanahan. But when I say self-aware, what I mean is the 49ers know exactly who they are. They know what they do well. They know what they don't do well. And they try their damnedest to make sure that they do the former and not the latter. Like they try to stick, you know, like again, down 17-0 against the Rams. They're not going to go away from the run and just start drop back throwing the ball all the time. You know, down 7-0 the other night or against the Packers, they're not going to start just trying to fling it all over the yard. They're going to stick to what they know and believe that ultimately what they do works. And it does. Yeah. And it has. And I you could even go to the point about DeMeco Ryans. You have to give Kyle Shanahan credit for developing him and promoting 100%. From within. And you compare that to the Rams, where Sean McVay has lost coordinators and coaches who've gotten head coaching jobs, and McVay is to be credited for that in some ways. When Brandon Staley leaves, he doesn't have a candidate ready to replace him. He has to go out and hire Raheem Morse, who's a very good coach, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Kyle might have wanted Raheem if you were really asking about it. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I think Kyle could have had him, though. Honestly, I really do. That job was cemented for DeMeco the moment Robert Saleh got a job. Those kinds of things, which don't seem like a big deal on the surface, maybe they contribute to what we're talking about when we talk about those intangibles and the way they have kind of fostered this group of guys who really puts it on the line for one another, and it extends to the coaching staff, because there's that kind of thing going on behind the scenes also.
I got to ask you, though, Nick, I mean, I hate to end on this sort of bummer note, but this is something that just feels glaring to me, and I don't think that very many people are having this conversation. It feels as if the win has sort of negated this, and going into this game against the Rams, I just have a feeling like it's going to end up being the story, and whether it works out or not, I suppose, will determine the contest. But Kaywan Williams doesn't look anything like the Kaywan Williams we once knew. And it's easy to get burned by Devontae Adams. Lesser men than him and greater men than him have been burned by Devontae Adams. But if Aaron Rodgers had his head on straight in that game, and perhaps that was impossible to do from multiple standpoints, including the pass rush, I would have just put Adams in the slot and run the same damn play every time, because no one was stopping it. No, certainly not Kaywan Williams. And the Rams are going to come at you with Cooper Kupp in the slot. That's dangerous enough. And then if it's not Cooper Kupp, it's Van Jefferson or Odell Beckham Jr. or Higbee. I mean, the pass-catching guys on this team are incredible. Aaron Rodgers refused to throw it to anybody other than Adams as a wide receiver. Matt Stafford, for all his faults, and there are a few, he'll spread it around. I mean, can you play Kaywan this week if you're the Niners?
I mean, as opposed to who?
I honestly, at this point, would say Dante Johnson, which they did in Week 18, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I agree with you on the take completely on Kaywan Williams. I think that, and just me personally, I think his body of work just kind of speaks for itself. You have to remember that he was out for a little bit, and again, like you said, had some bad matchups. But I will say, to go back to your point about DeMeco Ryans and making adjustments and things, what they did the other night with Devontae Adams was, they just basically said after that first drive, Devontae Adams isn't going to beat us. And I know he made some catches after that, but he wasn't getting big plays and things like that. To me, I think Cooper Kupp is the guy that you have to do that to this week, right? So force Matthew Stafford to beat him. But here's the other thing, Dieter, and we talked about this the last time they played. Mm-hmm. You don't blitz Matthew Stafford. You just don't do it. He's, I think it's 17 touchdowns, one interception, like a passer rating of like 130 or something when he's blitzed this year. And it drops to like 95 when he's not.
Man played in Detroit. He knows how to get the ball out of his hands fast as to not die. He learned that trick.
Exactly. And guess what the 49ers do as well or better than anybody in the league?
Rush with four, baby.
Exactly. Rush with four. So I think that, you know, if you're looking at it in terms of just that strict one-on-one matchup, I can understand your concerns, certainly. And that's not just in Kaywan Williams' case, but anyone going against Cooper Kupp in that scenario. But I do believe the way the 49ers play defense and the matchups that they can create and the way their front four is playing, I'm not sure how the Rams' front four has gotten better since they last played. Andrew Whitworth got banged up, so maybe they're a little bit worse. Joe Noteboom, I think the guy who replaced him last week, who's a good player actually, also got banged up. So I just think that is ultimately still going to be where the game is won. I don't think that has changed. I guess my answer, my long-winded way of answering your question is that I don't know that you can say any of the corners are more of a liability than the other, because that position has been a liability all year.
Yes.
But it isn't a liability when their defensive line is playing the way it is right now. And so, to your point, it can be a problem if the defensive line isn't getting it done. But then, you know, is it the chicken or the egg kind of situation? So that's just my take on it. And again, I'm not sitting here saying there's no way that, you know, Cooper Kupp's not going to go off or that K'Wan Williams is going to – none of that. That's how the Niners are built, and that's how they've got to get things done to win this game regardless.
They're extremely self-aware. They know what they are and what they are not, and we know that Nick Wagner is always going to bring it for us here on KNBR tonight. Check out his stuff on ESPN.com. It is dynamite. I say that not because he's telling me to behind the scenes, but because I truly believe it. Nick, we could go on for hours. I'm sure that we will over the course of the week, but we got to jump off the air right now. Thank you so much for coming on, my friend. Let's talk soon.
You got it, bud. Take care.
Nick Wagner, ladies and gentlemen. When I say that we could do it for hours, believe me, we could do it for hours. And I'm going to text Nick and tell him that maybe he needs to watch that tape on K'Wan a little bit more. But, his points are astute. His points are accurate. You got to know what you're about. And ultimately, a secondary is only going to be as good as the pass rush. Someone's just standing back there. They got all day. And you're playing zone as the Niners are wont to do. Yeah. Matt Stafford with that arm, he'll carve you up. Now, I feel very good about the 49ers pass rush against this Rams offensive line. I feel very good about the outside corners in Ambry Thomas, who looks like he's going to play this week. And this is just crazy to me that we're saying this. I feel very good about Ambry Thomas. And I feel exceptionally, exceptionally good about one Emmanuel Mosley, who since he has come back has been an ace corner. I think my prediction, maybe this is anchoring on my part, where I had a thought at the beginning of the year, and now I'm just looking for reasons for it to be true. But I was firm in my belief in the preseason, after watching training camp, that Emmanuel Mosley was going to end up at the end of the season being one of the NFL's best corners. And obviously he has fought through a ton of injuries, and he was not that before those injuries really started to hit. But since he has come back over these last couple of weeks, he has been one of the NFL's best corners. That's my belief. I'm sure there have been other great corners. I'm not saying he's the best. But he has been absolute money for San Francisco, and he could not have come along for this team at a better time. Have just one dude out there that you can say, it's going to be fine on that side of the field. Oh, I'm sure D'Amico Ryan sleeps a little bit better at night, and it allows him to come up with some pretty interesting stuff with Chris Kocurek on the front for that defensive line to eat. It is going to be an awesome game on Sunday. You know it's going to be fun. You know it's going to have some scoring. Hopefully the Niners can get in on that. And you know it's going to be a little bit weird because it's a division rivalry and everything is on the line. I can't wait. I hate that it's Monday. I hate it. It can't get here soon enough, this game. I'm so excited to just the next couple of days here before we come back on Wednesday. I can't tell you how excited I am to just watch everything that I can get my hands on to sort of get a better feel for this contest. But just initial takeaway, this is going to be a good one. This is going to be fun as hell. And you can convince me that anything, Niners blowout, Rams blowout, down to the wire, overtime, double overtime. It's the playoffs. It could happen. You could convince me that anything could go down in this contest, and I'd believe you. We were in on the Cowboys being trash, and the Niners should run all over them unless Dak Prescott decided that he wanted to grow a pair and actually push the ball down the field. He did not, and the Niners won, even with that second half from Jimmy. We were on the same page. I thought that Aaron Rodgers would carve them up. He did not. He didn't, and that left everything wide open. I told you all, take the points, and we'll see what happens. Certainly the Niners had the physicality advantage. Niners had the running advantage. Who knew that it would be more physicality than running? Who knew that Rodgers would just decide that he wasn't so interested in continuing to play outdoors in Green Bay, maybe ever? This week, I'm telling you flat out, Niners, Rams, I can't believe that there's a point between them in Las Vegas right now. Not when you consider that home field advantage is worthless in Los Angeles, at least to the Rams. They're going to be doing silent count at home again. Not when you consider the way that the 49ers are playing on defense. And yeah, I might have my concerns about K'Wan Williams, but that's about it. Not when you consider that Jimmy, he's got to be better than that. He can't go down anymore. I've seen him play well. I'd have to presume that it's only going to go up from here. It'll be 72 degrees. It'll be 72 degrees inside that stadium. It'll be in California. It's short travel. Do not underestimate the value of that short trip, of that short travel. And by the way, you get off the plane in Los Angeles, everyone's feeling good. Everyone's feeling a little bit looser, right? That's a classic. Everyone likes to be in L.A. a little bit. We might hate L.A., but that's not to say it's not a good place to show up for a day or two. Yeah, it's a little bit more fun. There's a little bit more life in the air. You get off the plane in Green Bay, and you're like, what are we doing here? Why are we here? Why is there a football stadium in this tiny town in the middle of Wisconsin? You're asking questions that you don't get the right answers to. You just feel depressed the second you touch down. It doesn't make any sense why that's happening up there in Green Bay, Wisconsin. How are we playing the biggest games of our lives next to this tiny little high school? Doesn't make any sense, man. It doesn't make any sense. You get off in L.A., you see that big stadium right next to the airport. They're going to play the Super Bowl there later, and you go, oh, yeah, this is a big moment. This feels right. You're going to have a little extra pep in your step. And by the way, you got an extra day of rest compared to those Rams who had to go all the way out to Tampa and then come all the way back. Flip a coin, baby. Let's have some fun. Man, I hate that it's Monday. This is a case of the Mondays in the sense of I just need Sunday to be here right now. I'm so amped for this game. I'm so amped to see what the hell actually goes down because the possibilities, oh, I'm going to tie myself in knots by the time Sunday's kickoff comes around. Speaking of, we got to talk to some more people about this. Let's talk to our man Akash Anavarthan of Niners Nation. He always comes in with some really cool and interesting stats. I'm sure he'll have some for us on the other side. Kurtenbach with you until 10 on The Sports Leader.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.